So you know I'm set up for failure today. Anytime a man tries to talk about anything to do with a woman, he's going to get in trouble. So let me throw that out there. I already know before I start. If I'm going to say something, I'm sure it's going to not set well, maybe. Hopefully not. Just joking. Yeah, I'm going to ask for forgiveness now, ahead of time. So it's Mother's Day, obviously. We've been celebrating it, and thank God for mothers.
Amen.
And we're gonna take a different road on the sermon today. If it don't work out, we won't do it again. That's all I can promise you. If it works out, I might try it again later. So we're going to look at a different perspective of it, and we're going to set the biblical foundation of a woman. Let me clarify that. You got to have a woman before you have a mother, right? So you got to have women, a mother. I'm being facetious a little bit. But what we are going to talk about for the mothers, though, from a biblical perspective, then we're going to discuss the importance of honoring and appreciating our mothers. We're going to talk about the unique role of the mothers. We're going to discuss examples of maternal love and sacrifice of mothers. Then the value of a mother's influence and importance of their well-being. We're going to try to cover all that. Might take a little bit. We'll see what time we got. We're okay. We'll make it. So the biblical foundation, let me read. Okay, first of all, turn to Genesis. Sorry. Chapter 2. I know this is kind of a unique spot to start on Mother's Day, but we're going to start there. Verses 20 through 24. I'll give you a little time to get there. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper, I'm putting emphasis on those two words, suitable helper, was found. So the Lord caused a man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united in his wife, and they become one flesh. Let me put in some country terms real quick. So Adam's out there working right off the bat, naming all these animals. If you read a little more in scripture, you know, so he named all the animals. You know, he started out pretty good. Orangutan, all these big names, right? Rhinoceros, hippopotamus. I mean, he come up with all these good names. And then, just like any man, got complacent and got tired. Cat. Dog. You notice how he's... So now he's tired, so we got to take a nap. So we take a good nap. So when he wakes up, now here's where things start changing for him. He looks up and he looks and says, "Whoa, man." So, never been the same since, him or us. And stuff. And he's been in trouble ever since, and so have we. So, whoa, man, woman. So that's what we got, okay? So that's the basis of it. And so we got a woman. But I want to back up on the serious side, what we read in Scripture, that one part where, but for Adam, verse 2, no suitable helper was found. In order to have a helper, you got to be doing something.
Amen.
Okay? Men.
That's right.
All right? How's your wife or Yeah, let me stop there. How is your wife going to be your suitable helper if you don't do anything? And we're going to kind of get into that and stuff. When we're talking about from a biblical perspective and stuff. So she, remember last week we talked about contentment, being content, where you at, where you are, where you're going, who you are, what you are, how you was created. And so we need to wrap our head around also, you're either a man or you're a woman. And you need to be content with that. And don't try to mess up God's design. And some of us probably have before, you know, do it our way. And our way has got us down a bad highway. And I've been there, and so other people have too. So what I'm saying is, don't look at, like a lot of people, I get, you know, I mentioned this before, not in a church setting, in discussions and stuff, that they look at it as a woman being the weaker sex. They don't say nothing about being a weaker sex. And if you've been around long enough and you've been a man long enough, you know that you're the weaker sex, to be honest with you. Why do you think their mothers are not us? We have a small population. So we need to focus on what we're designed for, what we're here for, God's design, in line with what God wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. And things typically, Brooke, and I'm being funny on that part, turn out a whole lot gooder.
Come on, let's do it.
So we're going to jump. So we got established, you know, we got a man, we got a woman, and we're going to jump into motherhood. And right off the bat, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, just give you a reference, honor your father and your mother so that you may live in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That is the first commandment that God gave with a promise. And the promise is, let me read it again, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Now you're not all, you know, just like any kind of relationship, you're not necessarily always going to agree with each other. You're going to have different points of views. Good. It says honor. That's your mother. We need to honor her.
Right.
And the same thing goes for dad. We'll talk about this again in June, Father's Day. But right now we're going to focus on mothers. Honor your mother. Now I'm just giving you the biblical foundations here. So that was the man and woman and the command to honor. Proverbs also writes, the very last book of Proverbs. You know, if you take the book of Proverbs, if you struggle reading your Bible, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Read one chapter a day, and every month you'll get through with the book of Proverbs.
Right.
Now, you might have to go read two extra in the short months, but you'd be okay, right? So it won't hurt. A book of wisdom. Proverbs, verse 10 through 31, and I'm going to hit 6 points. You go back and read all. That's a lot of reading. Go back and read what it emphasizes on how a woman should be, carry herself, and what she should be. Number one, the way she works with her hands. This woman reaches out with her hands to work, help the poor, provide for her family. Okay. The way she creates a home. This woman sacrificially. Builds a home, often unseen by the outside world, but visible to God.
Amen.
And that goes for everybody, not just women. You do what God tells you to do. As long as he knows what you're doing, you can be okay. Okay. The way a woman considers herself. This woman never forgets to treat herself with care. She has to take a little time. Now, guys, women think a little different than we do. Because I know that's a shocker. Just a little bit. So honor not just your mother, but all women. And vice versa, works both ways, right? We do got little differences and stuff. Let her do what she needs to do. The way she considers this woman never forgets to treat herself with care. the way she invests in her marriage. If she is married, this woman is a key to her husband's position and success in the community. What's that old saying? Behind every good man is a greater woman. And so that woman, that wife, that mother is going to get, and you know as a son, I know as a son and a husband, I know when I do wrong. And my mama or my wife does not have to say one word. You just know. And guys, you know what I'm talking about. Get that, just that certain look. You know when it's time to tighten up. She invests in her marriage. She puts the effort into it. She's at the house. She's behind the scenes doing what builds a home, what builds that child relationship. The way she speaks. This woman speaks with wisdom and love. And she wraps it up, and all that we've read in Proverbs. The way she exercises her faith. This woman knows and fears God. You notice there's two parts of that. She knows. First of all, she knows God. And now she fears God. Fear in the ultimate respect of God. Now, he can be scary if you let him, but that's you. God is there, and that woman knows that. That's that woman, that mother knows and fears God. I told y'all, my path to right here started as far back as I can remember when I had my drug problem. I was drugged every Sunday to church. Every Sunday. And that's just the way it was. I didn't always feel like going, but we always went. And that mother knows that. She knows that nurturing care that child needs or should have. And a woman of God, and so number one, is going to make sure that child is exposed to much of that he or she can get. So that's the biblical foundation. We kind of know what a woman is, where it comes from, where she comes from. We know the way she should carry herself, and we know how we should honor her. So now we're going to talk about two actual mothers, okay? We're going to talk about Hannah. Y'all remember Hannah in the Old Testament? We'll read about it. And we're going to talk about Mary, Jesus' mother. We're gonna tie those two in together. And God opened my eyes in my study. And by the way, this is nowhere near what I had planned today. Nowhere near. But the deeper I got into it, the more it got. So it's amazing, and you have to do a lot of reading and background yourself, but trust me, it's in there, and we're going to talk a lot about it. But how Hannah, and they're years apart, centuries apart, but how they work together. So Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1, 10 through 11. The book we're reading, 1 Samuel, is her son, if you didn't know that, or prophet Samuel. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servants, talking about herself, her servants' misery, and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Now listen, here's her promise. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Then it goes on and says, and no razor will ever use on his head. So let's break that down real quick. You break that down. You know, if you read scripture, and I taught this in the Bible study a lot, you can read scripture, then you can read scripture. If you take it, take your time and break it down and break it in pieces, you'll be amazed what God revealed to you. So to give you a little background, Hannah couldn't have any children. And back then, they used to have multiple wives and other servants. So he had children by this other lady, which added fuel to the fire on her desire to have a child of her own. And so what does she do? She don't She's not moaning or griping to nobody else, but she goes straight to the source. She goes straight to God. Now, you might not be in that same situation, but whatever issue or problem you have, you go straight to the source. You give it to God.
Amen.
Turn it over to Him. Amen. Let Him take care of it. He knows what's best for you. Amen. And how to take care of it and to do the impossible, like in her case. And this was exactly what she done. She was weeping bitterly. She made a vow. She made a promise to God. You ever made a promise to God? If you did, did you keep it? Just food for thought. Just think about it. So she made a promise to God. If you will only look on your servant, she identifies herself as God's servant. She's a woman of God. So she's established. She's not looking for God. She's looking for God's help because she is a daughter of God. And she knows that. She's a servant. She identifies herself as that. And she's in misery. And she says, remember me. Not, will you please remember me? Remember me. She knows to give it to God. And he'll come through. His way, His will, long as it lines up with His will. And she said, not forget me, but give me a son. She's specifically asking for a son, not just a child. She's specifically, you got to look at the big picture here. And so, you know, was it Matthew where it says, you ask and you shall receive, basically? I'm just paraphrasing. But it don't mean anything you want. It means as long as it lines up with God's will. First of all, just like the servant Hannah, what's your place with God? Are you a servant of God? Do you belong to God? If you do, you know how God's going to take care of you.
Come on.
And will take care of you.
Right.
And you know you can give it to Him. And you know if it don't come out exactly the way you want it, but it's God's best interest for you, and you know that as a person of God. That's where the basis of all this starts, is do you know God? Just like her, knows God and fears God. So her second part of this, so she presents it to God, and this is what I will do. I will give him to you all the days of his life. She's already, before he's even conceived. Oh, by the way, motherhood starts at conceived.
Amen.
Let that soak in a minute. And there's a reason I'm saying all this stuff. I ain't trying to get attention, and I'm not trying to step on toes necessarily. But I get bombarded with stuff like this all the time, believe it or not, at work. I'm not working right now, but besides here. The motherhood starts at conceivement. So back to her. Before Samuel's even conceived, she's already saying, if you do this for me, and she's not using it for a bargaining chip. She's doing it because she knows the best interest of her son and her, and that day she had that, as a mother's. And so have you ever had that insight on your child that you knew something was going to happen, that you knew destined for something? She knew this. And so she knew that, she probably didn't know exactly what, but she knew her son was going to be a man of God one way or the other. And she knew it. She has the faith in God, and she gives it to him. Here he is, take him. So she does that and makes that promise. So the best place to go when one feels hopeless and in deep anguish is before God. And we discussed that. All parents, mothers, everybody, should start at the throne of God in prayer.
Amen.
And offer up their children to Him. He or she may not go where you want him to go or her to go in God's view, but God's going to take care of that. But you got to have that. That's where faith comes in. God's going to use that person, that man, or that is that child, in a way. If you give him to God, he knows what's best. And you should start with prayer and give it and offer your children to him. Hannah placed herself as an humble, submissive servant of the Lord, referring to herself as your servant 2 times in that one scripture. Her prayer for a child and dedication to Samuel showcases the power of a mother's faith and love. Her faith, first of all, that she could have a child and give it to God. And her love. Now, you read the rest of the story of Hannah. Very, if any, I don't know. She didn't see her child a lot after that. After he got to the age where they, what's that big word they use? Dedication. Her prayer and child dedication to Samuel showcases the power of mother's faith and love. Her story highlights the importance of prayer, hope, and God's faithfulness in lives of mothers. Mothers, give your child to God. Turn him or her over to God. And let God, that knows better than you, even though you're a good mother, he knows better. He created you as a mother, and he knows what's best for that child. And have faith that he's going to take care of it. Now we're going to try to do a little segue into Mary. Okay? So we got, y'all know who Mary is, right? Jesus' mama? All right. Let me start out with a little bit of scripture. Luke 1:38. Before I read it, let me back up. An angel came to Mary, a young lady, and said, you're going to have a kid. Her, instead of being logical, how can that be? I haven't been with a man. I'm engaged to get married, but we ain't, you know, this ain't happened yet. So how can I have a child? The angel says, as of the Holy Spirit, God, you're going to have a child. You're going to name him Jesus. And I'm paraphrasing the story. Listen to what Mary, this is what I want to get at. Luke 1:38. Remember Hannah, servant of God, right? She self-admitted. Listen to Mary. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Now just think about that. Wrap your head around that. Something that's not humanly possible was told to her was going to happen. Now I'm sure she had a little bit of stress, anxiety. You know, we talk about that kind of stuff too. But listen to her answer though. First of all, she identified herself as a servant. So first of all, she's a follower of God already, right? I'm a servant. I'm your servant. If you're not a follower of God, you're not going to identify yourself as that. She's a servant of God. May your word be fulfilled. Let it happen. Let it be fulfilled. Now just let that sink in a minute. If that's not faith, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. Later, Mary goes on. Y'all heard of Mary's song? I'm running out of steam. My mouth again. I don't know if I'm going to read all of Mary's song. But Luke 1:46-55. Let me hit the high points here. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. That's the first thing she says. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She knew what she needed. Amen. God my Savior. Made it personal. It's mine. He's mine. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Amen. She's already... I shouldn't say it this way, but I will. Women like to plan ahead and think a lot. You know, I do good to get past this pulpit today. I don't know what I'm doing after I get here done here. But she's already gave it to God. She's been mindful of the state, and she already knows this is going to be a blessing. She knows. She got that insight. She got that tap from the Holy Spirit God, okay, you're going to have a Savior. Your son is going to be the Savior of the world. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Now, she sang this song. I'm not going to sing it to you. I'm just going to read it to you just a little bit at a time here. His mercy extends to those who fear him. You realize she's talking about her own son? She knows God. She's making that transition into God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. From generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. So I lied. I said I wasn't going to read all of it, but I think we need to. He has brought down rulers from the thrones, but has lifted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich empty. He has helped his servant Israel. Remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as the promise of the ancestors. I read that quick. Let me wrap that up. What she just read. And so she knows the Bible she had at that time, the Old Testament prophecies. She just said she knew Abraham, Father Abraham, had many sons. She knew all the descendants. She knew the prophecy. The angel told her specifically. She said, yes, sir. Paraphrasing. See how all that lined up. And so because she's a follower of God, because she's a servant of God. She's just not just a young girl that God just happened just to pluck out of thin air. So, hey, you're going to have the Savior. He picked somebody that already knew him. That already knew him. In many respects, it resembles Hannah's prayer. You go back to Hannah's prayer. Especially the servant part. They both recognize their, what they are. It's okay to recognize who you are and what you are. If it lines up with God, that's all you need to worry about. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks, what you are, or what you should be. You ever get one of them should be people? You should do this, you should do that. You do what God tells you to do. You do exactly what God tells you to do. And you'd be a whole lot better off. I did the other way before. Did what I wanted to do. I still remember those too. Some good lessons. Let me wrap up with Mary. Luke 2:22 says, so the baby's born. It's that time. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They didn't just have the baby and stop there. They raised that baby in church. He was drugged to church like I was. I'm being funny. Y'all can laugh. So they followed through with their lifestyle of being a Christian, of being a man and woman of God. They raised that child the way they, way God designed it to be. Mary is a model of faithfulness and love as demonstrated by her unwavering faith and support of her son. And we can get way into it, and we're not today, all the way to the cross. Mary was at the foot of the cross when he died. And one of my favorite things to do, even talk a little bit, you know, I like to talk about Jesus a little bit too. You know, we're talking about, you know, we're looking at the mothers. But Jesus, while he was dying on the cross, he never forgot his mother. And he made sure she was taken care of before he died. Just so happened to be the Apostle John. Amen. Good name. Now, I like all my Johns, you know. John the Baptist and John the Disciple, John Wayne. So Mary presented him. She took care of her son. She raised him the way she's supposed to. She followed God's rules. And what she got out of the value of motherhood, a mother's influence. We're just going to wrap up with attributes of a mother, the way it should be. Mothers are vital in shaping their children's character, values, and their faith. They provide love, support, and guidance throughout their children's lives. Notice that word, throughout their children's life. Their child never quits being their child. And it keeps on, keep on keeping on.
That's it.
And here's a big one for mothers, and it's a mother's sacrifices. Mothers can often make significant sacrifices for their families, both physically and emotionally. This is kind of funny, but it's true. My daughter is a mother. My wife's a mother. And when I get the grandkids, I don't do car seats. So I make one of them hook them up. If they're going to come see me, you're going to drop them off. We ain't going nowhere until you come back and get them, because I don't do car seats. Now, that's not a mother's attitude. That's if a mother would do whatever she needs to do to make sure that that child's taken care of.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff. Whatever, if it's whatever they don't like, they do a lot of stuff they don't like, but they do it because of their motherly nature. So I'm blessed with some girls that don't mind doing that kind of stuff. Their love and care are invaluable and should be recognized and appreciated.
Amen.
If you still got your mother, you still talk to her, let her know that. Let her know how much you appreciate her. God's perspective on motherhood. Now, this is where this kind of gets a little different, to put it that way. You ever thought about God? Him, God, created man and woman. He's the only man, male, that fully understands a woman. Because he created her. He knows nothing about her. And his motherhood is his children. He cares for you. If you belong to him, he cares for you the way that motherly love, only a mother can give, way. God views motherhood as a sacred and blessed calling, emphasizing the importance of maternal love and sacrifice. Isaiah 16:13 compares God's comfort to a mother's, highlighting his understanding of maternal love. Israel, his child, and his children. If you read, everything that Israel did was against God, basically. They kept breaking the rules. He'll send somebody, Babylon, he'll send somebody to take them into captivity. You know, he'll punish them, but he never stopped loving them.
Right.
Ever. He will never stop loving you.
Right.
You accept God, you accept Jesus, his son, as your Lord and Savior. He will never stop loving you, and he's there for you. Honor and appreciate your mother. Offer up encouragement. Obey and honor mothers as commanded in the Bible. He tells you to do it too. Treat mothers with kindness and respect even when disagreement arises. Provide support. Help mothers with their tasks and responsibilities. Offer emotional support and encouragement, especially during challenging times. Recognize and appreciate the unique gifts and talents mothers possess. Me and my mother joke a lot. One thing that she didn't share with me because she ain't got it either, and she'll tell you that, we can't sing. That's why I didn't sing Mary's song to you, because this service has been over a long time ago. Celebrate their contributions to their family and their communities. Moms, and this is for everybody, but moms, listen to me. If you want that motherly example of Hannah or Mary, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior if you hadn't already. And so then you need to do, not just accept him, then you need to obey him and follow through with him on everything you do, especially raising your children and get them to God. And so we're gonna play a song of invitation. I'm going to get everybody to stand. I'm going to close in prayer here in a second after we do the invitation. I'm going to come down here. If you need that Savior, I don't care if you're a man or a woman, you come down here. We hit you in the right direction. If you need to come pray and give it to God, the altar's open as well. You do what you need to do to get right with God, whatever that may be.